My name is Dr. Linda Chin, and I have been studying the Word probably for about the last 13 or 14 years, and I love the study of the Word. The purpose of this podcast is actually to reach Christians and to help us gain a better understanding of the Word. It's to help gain a better understanding of what the Bible is saying to believers. Christian Women in Training Network is a Bible study ministry, and it's created to help women become carriers of the glory of the living Word, so that when people encounter us, they are encountering Jesus Christ himself, and they're encountering people through whom they will experience the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And this is what we do. We study the Word in a loving and structured and safe environment. Our actual mission is to train women how to search and mine through the Scriptures for the purpose of developing an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So if you'd like to join us for one of these Bible studies, please feel free. The first Saturday of every month from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., we meet at Fully Rely on God Christian Ministries. That's located at 1445 Municipal Parkway in Douglasville, Georgia. Again, that's the first Saturday every month from 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Thank you for joining us again tonight for our live podcast. Our topic tonight is the discipline of surrender. We have two guests tonight. I'm going to relinquish the microphone to our two guests. We have Mia Williams, who is here leading the study slash the talk slash the lesson. And we also have a guest from Connecticut by way of Texas and Florida, my goddaughter, Kenita Rainey. I'd just like to let you all know that Mia has been teaching the Word probably for about 10 years, and Kenita Rainey's background is she's an electromechanical engineer who loves God and has also been in the Word for quite a while. So, without further ado, let us get started with tonight's Bible study topic, the discipline of surrender.
Well, good evening, everyone. Again, my name is Mia Williams, and it's a pleasure to be here and an honor to be able to come and join with you as we do sit around the Word to hear what the Spirit would have to say to the church in this hour. The topic tonight is the discipline of surrender. And this particular topic, I've kind of been dealing with it in a season of where I've had to do a lot of surrendering myself. So in this study, which is I have found is an ongoing journey of surrender, I'm learning that there's ways as believers that we will be tested our true trust in God with our life. Surrendering is not easy. Oftentimes when we think of surrender, we think of it as something negative. We contribute it to being defeated or conquered. However, I'm coming to learn that there's so much more to surrender, and there's many benefits and blessings of surrendering that we can experience as believers. So for starters, I would like to start off with just a couple of definitions of some terms to kind of help us wrap around the topic tonight and kind of get us a way to flow into it. When thinking of this, when I thought of discipline, I was thinking to myself, okay, discipline, surrender. And even when we think of discipline, we think of being punished or having to be rebuked about something. But when you look at the term also, Webster defines it in two ways. A discipline can also be defined as a subject that is taught like in a field of study. It also is defined as training that brings about correction that molds or perfects the mental and the moral character of an individual. So with discipline to surrender, I would say, and I believe it's safe to say, that when reflecting on these two terms, then when pertaining to the things of God as a believer, it can be said that surrender, which is the ability to yield to the power and control of another, is a training tool used for bringing about correction and the molding of our spiritual development. So when you think of surrender, of course, there's several terms that I looked at and I want us to kind of keep in mind throughout the evening. Webster defines it, one, as a yield to the power and control or possession of another by compulsion or demand. It also speaks of surrender as to give oneself up into the power of another, to yield or to relinquish. The act of giving up oneself or giving up the possession of something. So with that, I thought about all that we would have to give up. What does that really mean when we have to give up something, when we have to surrender something to God? So in that, from childhood, I thought about even as children, we're used to being in control of things. So, and Kenita, if you would help join in, think about times when even as children, we may have thrown temper tantrums. That was our way of saying, this is what I want, it's mine, especially if it came to maybe sharing a toy or an item with a sibling. We would go into these fits, and that was our way of expressing, we don't want to give that up. That mm-hmm. belongs to me. Any thoughts on that, just so far what we've spoken on?
Sure. As a youth for myself, I remember always asking, well, why can't I do this or why can't I do that, and have things my way, basically. And my dad would always say, well, because I said so. Mm-hmm. And he'd always have these sayings or parables, and be seen, not heard type thing. So it was a surrendering to his authority.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And when you think of it, get surrender, and because I think surrender has, would you not agree, gotten such a negative connotation of being defeated and being weak. Even when you look around things that are going on today, when people have to surrender to authority, they quickly rebel to that because they don't want it to seem like they're not in control, so to speak. So we do these acting out things to kind of give us this thing that I'm in control, I've got this under this, when really surrender can be a good thing. And we'll talk about that later as far as some of the benefits I have come to believe that we get through surrender. And you're right, it's submitting to authority is basically what surrender is all about, which is a good thing, because what I've learned is that it takes the responsibility off of you of whatever the concluding thing is going to be, especially when it comes to believing God or trusting in God. With that, would you say that even today we as believers struggle with the discipline of surrendering to God when you think about those things that we don't want to relinquish, we don't want to let go? Because, you know, we have this plan now. We have this plan of how everything's going to fall out. So those things when we surrender kind of messes up our plans that we had.
Mm. Yes, for me, I've done some self-reflection over the years, and I've come to learn about myself. I've got some control issues even within me. And I think as humans, you know, our mind naturally wants to rationalize everything, right? So we say, okay, what's our plan for this week or next week? And I'm going to go on this trip here and have these things in order. But, you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds, right? Because that's not promised. So it's really an understanding that he is the one that's in control, and it's he that lives within us. And I think that's it's something that I continue to try to remind myself of, because I take pride in doing things to accomplish my goals and making sure that I succeed in those goals. But not everything goes according to my plan.
Right. And God forbid if we don't succeed, right?
And
I can relate to that, in that when you said just the need to control, because mm-hmm. when we have this idea of I want it this way, I want it that way, for whatever it is we're planning. And I think with this control, because I tend to have this little control issue thing too. And I think one of the most challenging, I would say, the most challenging scriptures as far as surrender would be in Matthew 6. When he talks about do not worry about your life, or do not worry about tomorrow, mm-hmm. what you would eat, what you would drink, what mm-hmm. you're going to put on, those things. And I took it even further when it says do not worry about your life. It talks about everything pertaining to my life. So I mean, okay, so I'm not supposed to worry about my marriage and my children and my job and my purpose and my destiny. Do you really mean not worry, God? I mean, is that what you're really saying? And so in a further study, worry means to be anxious. Mm-hmm. So one of the greatest challenges I've had in surrendering in my life is surrendering to the fact that that's exactly what he meant. Do not worry about your life and the things pertaining to your life. So that means my family, that means my purpose, my destiny, finances, my health. That's not to give a license for those out there who are listening that you just go free and just do whatever you want to. But he doesn't want us to be so anxious and wound up and tight that we can't flow with him. And so with that, I've learned that one of the things we have to learn to give up is, of course, people, surrendering people. And I think one of the challenges I had was surrendering my children. Anyone who knows that there's as a mother, that's difficult to do. But when he says in his word that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all those who dwell therein, that gives us, we should have comfort in that, that we all belong to him. So as you were saying, you know, we don't have these plans. We want plans for our marriage and plans for our children and plans on the job and things of that nature. So what would you say to that effect in reference to not worrying about life and in pertaining to life and the things that surround it?
I think it's a hard thing, especially for humans. As I mentioned before, we always want to rationalize it. You know, I take it a step further, too, and look at surrender as in 1 Corinthians talks about a daily dying to yourself. So what does that mean, right? When you completely give up your control and say, it's not me, but it's him who lives within me, mm-hmm. and you are fully relying on his power and his strength. And God has a funny way of putting you in different situations where you're forced to rely on him. You know, your intellect and your strength only go so far. Your will only goes so far. It's his that can take you further to your destiny, to where you want to go. So I think that that concept of really having a daily death to yourself, and it's really taking a look, okay, is this me right now? Am I getting in God's way, you know?
Exactly, and I so agree with that when you say a daily dying, because I have found that surrender is a journey. It's not something that just happens overnight. Because when you think about if you've ever, you've always had it your way for a long time, then someone comes in and goes, okay, it's not going to be this way anymore. Or when you were so bent on it turning out this way, you really do have to go, okay, do I trust God with this? And I think one of the scriptures, too, that worth mentioning, in Mark chapter 10, we have this encounter where Jesus and this young rich ruler encounter each other. And some things to me that really stood out is that we have this young rich man who, you know, young rich ruler who encounters Jesus. And so it talks about how he ran to Jesus and he knelt before him. And then he asked him, what can I do to have eternal life? And then he lets him know, give up everything you have, then you can have it. But what caught me was the last verse, when it says, but he, verse 22, that's Mark chapter 10, verse 22, but he was sad at his word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So when I meditated on this, I thought to myself, okay, so let me look at this. Here we have this young rich ruler who has all these possessions. And some things that stuck out to me was that it said he ran up to Jesus. So his running to Jesus indicated to me he knew who Christ was. Then it went on to say that he knelt before Jesus. So that to me that indicated he had an acknowledgement and a reverence for the authority of Christ. Then it went on to say that he asked Jesus, what must I do to gain eternal life? To me at that point he was petitioning him. So he knew where an answer needed to come from. So what struck me is that he ran to Jesus, he knelt before Jesus, he petitioned Jesus, but he still had to make a choice. Because if you back up into verse 18 of that same chapter, Mark chapter 10, well, let's go to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Verse 19, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at his word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What stuck out to me is that he knew the scripture. He knew the word. He said he had all these things, but he still had to come to a place of surrender. So with that, to me, I believe as believers is that the request of surrendering costs too much. So it told me surrender cost. Mm. It told me that even though we may know the scriptures, we may know where the answer, there is still a choice where we're going to have to come to a point of surrender that cost us, and that cost us a lot. So with that, is there anything else you want to add to that, elaborate on that, just as we were speaking on that?
Well, a couple things. So you make a great point that things cost us. But in verse 22, when he talks about, for he had great possessions, I think about we as people and what we put our faith in, right, and our, you know, love of money and possessions and the things that we have. You know, we want to dress nice and look good and buy nice cars. And at the end of the day, none of it's coming with us when we go meet our maker.
Exactly.
So, you know, what are these material things to God?
Exactly.
Material. But to man, it's something big. So God's perspective and man's perspective is quite different in regards to that. You mentioned something else about he knew the word, however, he still had to make a choice. So our God is a God of free will. So we all have choices in life that we have to make that are either going to continue to move forward and set us on the right path, or it's going to take us in a different direction. But God loves us so much that he always allows us to have that way out. If we make that right choice, there's a way for us to succeed. And I think it's a matter of recognizing when you need to surrender, dying of yourself, follow him, and really, I think, you know, it's the will thing. So everybody has their own will, and mine's pretty strong. So I need to remind myself that, okay, what's God's will? What would God's will be for me? And if I don't know that answer, it's my job to sit and wait for it and not move.
Wow, that is so true. That is so true. And you said a key thing, too, with the will, because what I found in this passage that was interesting, Jesus let him go his way. He didn't try to say, okay, but you know, if you come with me, you're going to heaven now. Okay, let me try to explain to you what's going to happen if you continue to hold on to these possessions. And he didn't go into that. He allowed him to do that. So in that, what I got out of that is that even we as individuals, as humans, and even as believers sometimes, so in that, because when it said sorrowful, that means he went away grieved. So he knew. I mean, he went away grieved, very intensely sorrowful. But he chose rather to be separated from Christ than be surrendered to Christ, all because of possessions. So he chose that instead, and Christ let him make that choice. So it lets me know that today that we have the choice to surrender or not. And it simply comes with our trust in him. And you said something, Keith, earlier, that I have a will, and if I don't know what to do, then it's my job to sit there and get that guidance and that direction so that I am not off the path. I think it comes down and boils down to that one question: do I trust him with my life? Mm-hmm. And that's everything pertaining to my life. So even when we're facing certain circumstances or situations, do I trust Christ with my life? When we think about that again, back in Matthew, do not worry about your life, those things, we get so worried and anxious and uptight about the smallest things that really when it's over at the end of the day, you go, okay, really, was it worth that? You know, and it can cause us all these other health issues, to mental issues, to psychological issues. It can all stem into something else. But I think what he lets us know is that if we get that mindset, put on the mind of Christ and understand what he did for us, it helps us surrender. Would you not agree?
Yes, absolutely. You know, Christ had to make the decision as well to fulfill his Father's will to die on the cross for our sins. And that was monumental for us. But, you know, we see in the scriptures where Christ had that dialogue with God while he was on the cross, right before he gave up the ghost.
Exactly. I so agree with that even, and it's interesting because that was a point that was brought to me too in this study, as well as even in the Garden of Gethsemane. We will come, even there he had to surrender before he got to the cross. Because he asked, if it's thy will, take this cup from me. It was bitter. It was something quite difficult. And again, it was a price. It was a cost that I don't think any of us really can really ever come to understand what that moment must have been like to know. But he still had to be able to trust the Father that I surrender to the plan of why you sent me here. Mm-hmm. And I trust you that it's going to work out that way. So even in the garden, there came a point to where he had to surrender there even before getting to the cross. And even back in our reference scripture, back in our text, when it says in chapter, again, Mark chapter 10, in the latter part of 21, it says, come, take up the cross and follow me. I think our cross is every time we come to a point where we need to surrender, it's our cross. And we have to pick it up and we have to bear it. We have to decide at that moment, I'm going to take this cross, I'm going to do it. And that's, like you said, what Christ did for us on the way to Calvary. I also like to, I looked at the two comparison also as with this young ruler and Job. You look at Job who had everything but lost everything. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he came to the point of understanding, naked I came into the world, naked I'm going to go out. In other words, I was born with nothing, and I'm going to go out with nothing. And you said it earlier, these possessions, and it's not to say that God won't bless us and we don't want us to enjoy life, because he did say that he came to give us life and have it in abundance. But I think that part we miss is we always want to put the possession part in it, but there's other parts of life too that come with it, and we're going to have that in abundance as well. One of the scriptures, you know, the scripture also says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, mm-hmm. but he shall deliver them out of them all. That's a part of life. Things happen. Things just happen. So with that and saying, you know, things that happen and losing everything, what can you speak on in reference to feeling like you've lost everything or losing everything, but still having to surrender to Christ, to surrender to his lordship and trusting him? Something like what David and the Hebrew boys did. If I perish, I perish, but knowing that he's in the midst.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'll speak personally for myself. Everybody in this life suffers loss, and that's always a difficult thing. I thought I understood and knew what that was when my father passed away from his illness and mm-hmm. caring for him for those 7.5 months, you know, while watching him go through that transition, I'll call it. But God has a funny way of continuing to bring you to the next level. So just when you feel comfortable and say, okay, well, I got through that, right? I got through my grieving process. Now I found peace that he's with the Lord and resting and I can go forward. Boom, you get hit with something else that tests you. And, you know, just this past year, I suffered an illness of my own and had to undergo treatment. And that put me in a completely different space that I didn't even fathom. And when you're the one that's afflicted and going through, and there's really nothing else that you can do, you're being told all this news, right? That, well, there are things that we can do, but we can't guarantee. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then my reliance and my faith was on God. Okay, God, no one else here can do it. So I'm going to have to wait and watch you do it. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very tough feeling like my life was sidelined for mm-hmm. that entire period of having to go through treatment. But my quietest days were some of my most blessed days in the beginning, and having to deal with that, because that's when I was surrendering mm-hmm. and just saying, okay, Lord, I need you to help get me off the floor today.
Mm, yeah.
Because I'm not going to make it without you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think being put in that space really helps bring you closer to him. And when you can feed off the strength of what God is able to give you, but then the prayers of others and those surrounding you with love, I think, you know, that also furthers your understanding. But it helped me to really realize, okay, what's surrendering, and then what's dying daily to myself, and then what's my will for me? It wasn't my will to be sick. or my will to, you know, have to be at home and my plans change and relocate, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But it's all for a purpose.
All for a purpose. And I like what you said in reference to your quietest days mm-hmm. or your best days. Because what I have found and what I'm coming to find, because again, it is a journey, is that there is serenity. You find serenity in surrender.
Yeah.
When God says, take on my yoke for it's easy and my burdens it's light, that is so true. When he talks about in 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. When he talks about I'll perfect those things which concern you, not only the things that are concerning you, but the things that have anything pertaining to you and what you're going through again in life, that he's taking care of that. There's a serenity when we come to understand and surrender that God's got me. And I think what we have to be careful of is when we're saying certain cliches, you know, because we have our Christian jargon, right? That we have to be careful of saying things and not really understanding what we're saying. A part of this study, one of the things that came to me as I was just driving, you know, oftentimes, and I heard the Lord saying this, oftentimes I hear people saying, let go and let God.
Mm-hmm.
Father's in your hands. Jesus, take the wheel. But when we think about that and we really say that, what are we really saying? So he showed me this. It would be as, Kenita, if you and I were on a cross-country road trip. And let's say at some point during the trip, you start off driving, you get tired. And you go, okay, Mia, I need to turn it over and allow you to drive some more. You won't really relax and get the rest that you're seeking to get if you don't trust my driving skills, if you don't trust that I know where we're going, if you don't trust that I'm gonna have us off on the side of the road or in a ditch. You won't trust that. So I have learned when it comes to surrendering, when we're saying these things, we have to really, really understand what we're saying. When we're asking Jesus, okay, God is in your hands, I trust you, you have total control. We have to really understand that. So with that, I'm learning that when we're saying these things, then, okay, I have to trust him all the way. Because what's the point of us switching places and I take the driver's seat and you still have to stay up because you're anxious on pins and needles. You know, is she going to have us in the ditch? You know, is she going to get us lost? Okay, you know. So those are the things I think that I appreciate God for how he reveals those things to us in learning to trust him on this journey
mm-hmm.
called life. I look at each day as our book. This life that we're living is our book. Each day a page, every year a chapter. And the exit is simply the time that we'll exit this life. So we have to trust him on that journey as he's driving. Were there any additional comments you want to make with that?
Sure. I love what you said about us needing to be cognizant of the words that we speak and what it really means. You know, we say all these things to try to encourage others or just repeat what we've heard, but we don't really know. So for myself, it was the Lord's Prayer. Something so simple that I was taught as a child that I say every night before I go to bed. But it's Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, mm-hmm. thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get to that part,
mm-hmm.
thy will be done, that's granting God permission to do his will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm granting him permission every day when mm-hmm. I say that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't cognizant of that for years.
And I like what you said about will, because it brings me to another thought, too, is when we think about God's will and even in surrendering, and we'll go into it further, just what is it that we're supposed to surrender? How, even as helping our listeners, some things we can give them as starters, because, again, it's a journey, and everybody has to walk their own journey out. But when you think about a will, first, we can't trust God in his will if we don't know his will.
Mm.
Then we won't know his will if we don't read his will. And this right here is his living will and testament. This is it. This is what we get, this Bible, and this is what he tells us and how we can have instructions for our everyday living. When you talked about will, I kind of thought to myself, okay, God, what are you saying about when will or instructions? And with you from your background, I'm sure you can understand this too, but even today, as he was just revealing more to me through his spirit, I thought about the fact of we have what we call standard operational procedures in our places of business. And those operational procedures let you know this is how this office or this practice or this organization is going to run, and these are the standards by which you must abide by. And so when it comes to that, I think there are spiritual operation procedures that we have to be in alignment with, and it comes out of God's word. When you think about on our job with those standard operational procedures, what happens when somebody fails to comply? They get written up, they get counseled, possible termination, those things. So when we think about those standard operational procedures in the world, I think God is always, there's a paralleling thing that we can pick up in the spirit. And spiritual operating procedures is the same thing. And one of those things is faith. He said, we're not to walk by sight, but by faith. We're to trust him in everything we do. So I began to ask him then, okay, so what is your spiritual operating procedure then? And that is, one of it is to surrender. That's part of it. You surrender to my will and what I say in this word. With that, I believe there's some things that we need to, just as starters, that I identify that we need to surrender. And one is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Mm-hmm. We are spiritual beings and we live in a body. And the first thing I think is our mind. God says that we're to put on the mind of Christ. We're to meditate on those things that are good and praiseworthy and of a good report. I think our mind, everything starts up here in our mind. So we have to surrender on a spiritual note, I think, our minds and our thoughts and our emotions, how we feel about certain things. You know, we have to surrender that. Just because you feel you have a right to retaliate. Look at Joseph, you know, who was sold by his brothers. He felt he was rightfully so, and he had good reason to be angry and upset, but he had to surrender to God and understand that's not for you to retaliate. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. We have to surrender our body, and I know that's, it says we're the living temple of the Holy Spirit. So a lot of times, you know, even with Thanksgiving coming up, you know, there's some things we're going to have to at some point just say, you know, hey, that's enough. We have to understand that really this, everything we are doesn't belong to us. We really don't belong to ourselves. We were purchased with a price. So that's on the spiritual note. But then I think also beyond that, we need to learn to surrender our past. That was then, this is now, things have happened, we move forward. I think we need to surrender our present, whatever present day circumstances or situations that we're going through need to be surrendered to God. I also think we need to surrender our future, our destiny, because again, you said something so key earlier, we so want to be in control of how everything happens. And when it doesn't happen that way, we set ourselves up for great defeat. Now, it's not to say that we're not to plan and prepare. I think we should do that, but we should be able to surrender to God's divine intervention to let us know, no, not yet, not now, not never, and just be okay with it. Any thoughts on that?
I love what you said about the various things that we need to surrender, and I appreciate the fact that you put the mind first. I think about the body, right, and the being that, mm-hmm. that God made, and our brain is such a pivotal tool, right? It sends signals out to the rest of our body mm-hmm. to raise my hand, to walk, to do any function. We think it first, mm-hmm. a signal sent mm-hmm. from the mind. Mm-hmm. The mind precedes everything. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that that's important to have that, to be one of the first things that we surrender. It's so difficult, I think, in this life to do that. There's a fine line, right, between being an active participant in our blessing without getting in God's way. When you can understand that balance, you're blessed.
Yes.
That's where the blessing is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a constant balancing act, mm-hmm. right? And sometimes there's a waiting period. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's not. But God has a great way of making your setback a setup, right? Fast forwarding you where he needs you to be when he needs you to be there. But you have to be willing. There's that whole will part of the word willing.
Yeah, and I like that what you said about just an active participant, because this is what came to me even today. A surrendered life is a user-friendly life. And so again, with your background, anything that we go to try to update as far as software or any operational systems, our cell phones to televisions to whatever we try to upgrade, we're always looking for it to be user-friendly, which means we want it to be able to input data and retrieve data accurately, sufficiently, you know, effectively, so that it benefits the user. And so it made me think of the fact that God wants us to be user-friendly. And so if we aren't living a life that is surrendered to him, he can't easily use us. When we upgrading things, we don't want things to be too convoluted. On my job, we had to transition to a new software system. And the previous one was a little more user-friendly. The newer one, a little more challenging, upgrades, but some of it was just too convoluted. So it makes you think of the fact of, okay, doesn't Christ want the same thing? Would you not agree that he wants the same thing for us to be user-friendly? He doesn't have to go through all these explanations and because sometimes, like you said before, he's just not going to do it. You know, all these explanations, it takes too much to get data in you, then it takes too much to pull the data out of you. You're just not user-friendly. So I would say, again, that the surrendered life is a user-friendly life. And that is how you said, like, it propels us into purpose. It helps us minister to others. It helps us to comfort others. It helps us to guide others. So learning, I think, also to have that surrendered life to God makes us more user-friendly versus when we want to be in control of everything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, so with that, one of the things you talked about too earlier is you said control, and we know control has to do with behaviors or actions that make people do something. So are we saying that God is controlling us?
He is in control of our lives for sure. And I think that's the whole authority thing. When you think of the concept, right? In order to be a great leader one day, you must first learn how to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to submit to some authority figure of somebody who's more seasoned than you so that you can get what they're imparting upon you to add to your skill set to take you where you need to be. And I think, you know, the same goes with God. You know, we're going to spend our entire lives learning from him because his thoughts are greater than our thoughts,
yes,
et cetera. So I think there's that concept of knowing, you can't always be in control because you're not always going to be number one, and you're really not number one.
Exactly. We're really not.
Just saying.
Exactly. Exactly. And even when you think of the thing about control, because that's one of the things I was really stunned. He's not trying to control us. He's just trying to lead us and guide us to make, as you said earlier, a willful decision, because we're not robots. We're not these mechanical beings where we push a button, I love God. Yes, God, I'll go to church. You know, we're not those individuals. But then we also have to think in our need to always want to control things. And even with this thing of surrender, not just in our lives, but in the lives of others, allowing God to be God in the lives of other people. Oftentimes we'll get into this control thing where we're trying to make people do certain things or respond a certain way. And I think we cross the line then because, again, they too have to learn to surrender to God. So when we try to control it and manipulate it, we really kind of step over into that thing of that Jezebel thing of controlling and manipulating people to try to get them to make a response. So he's even showing me that. And like you said, it's amazing how God will walk you on a journey and have you go through things to show you, you think you have too much control right there. So let me go ahead and step in here and show you that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to actually surrender to his will in those areas. So I think a part of surrendering also is acknowledging, one, that I am not in control. One thing I have come to understand, he gives us authority and he gives us stewardship and he's even given us power over certain things, but we're not in control. That, like you said earlier, is only going to go so far. So I think we, one, need to acknowledge that we're not in control, and then we need to confess the fact that I repent of trying to be in control, of not surrendering and letting you handle this. Because I think oftentimes when we do that, we delay so much. I think we delay deliverance. We delay the experience of peace. We delay victories in our life simply because God, I think he goes and he steps back and takes his hands off and go, okay, you got it? Okay, since you got it, exactly, I'll step back. So I think we need to acknowledge, we need to confess, and I think we need to trust. We need to get to that place to where we trust him with our life and with the lives of our loved ones.
Mm-hmm. I love what you say about recognizing that we need to repent. There's a lot of times, even for myself, I'll realize that probably wasn't right there, but then I keep going. But it's like, I need to repent for that thought or that action. And for myself, with my control issues that I had, I've learned that I've also passed judgment within that. So in trying to control someone else's thoughts and convince them that, hey, this is the way to go, this is what you should be doing, I first passed a judgment as to why I felt that way, about them or about what it is that they were actually doing. And I needed to repent for that action as well.
And again, like you said, we have to get to that point of where we have to surrender and allow other people the opportunity to surrender. Because although people have the perception that Jesus' life was taken, he surrendered his life. He actually gave it up. And it was at a cost, but he willingly did that. And I, again, go back to our story of when with the young ruler, Christ let him make a choice. He had a choice. He could choose to do what he was directed to do, but Christ also let him walk off, even though he was saddened, let him walk off with, if that's what you choose, then fine. And I think oftentimes we as individuals, we try to pull people into things and not allowing people the freedom that even God gives them. And that's for them to make their choice. So in closing, what would you say some of the benefits of surrender have been for you in your life personally?
Ooh, well, God saved me from a whole lot. So where to start? For myself, professionally, had a large decision to make to be a part of a really great program in another state. And we were working on fighter jets. And it was probably the most complex engineering project that I've ever been a part of, and they were paying large six figures to do it. And it was my first time being part of a small group. There was only 12 people asked to come from my office to relocate to start this program up. And out of all 12 people, I was the only one that said, oh, sorry, I can't. And it wasn't about the money. And it wasn't about the work or the aircraft or the military. Or the I believe in those missions because that's what I do every day, but it wasn't about any of that. My decision was purely based on God because I had no peace. I had no peace with making the decision to follow that. And fast forward, 6-8 months later, they got rid of the program. The contract was terminated, and they fired over 200 people. Who relocated their families, their lives, and everything. Right. And I'm like, wow, my God, what did you save me from? So I think about how that could have propelled me in a different direction. And meanwhile, I went on to work on another special program. And, it was like I was never delayed, I was plucked to do something else. God picked me up and put me somewhere else. Said, here, go do this.
Right. And that's awesome that you say that because, again, that's one of the things I thought of as far as the benefits of surrendering is security. There's serenity, which, of course, is the peace, and just security in surrendering to him because, again, when we surrender to him, we now step out of the responsibility of what the outcome would be. One of the other story that came to me was when Jesus was on the ship with the disciples and a storm came. And it helped me to think about storms come. We're in ships. We're in with relationships with family or on our job. We're always intertwined and involved with other people. And the fact that this storm came and Jesus was asleep was indication that he had peace even in the midst of the storm.
Yeah, yeah.
So the disciples, of course, they get up, they're frantic, they're worrying, they're anxious, don't you care, we're perishing. So I'm sure there's oftentimes in our own lives, we're like, okay, God, don't you care, don't you see this falling apart, don't you see my marriage, don't you see my kids, don't you see my family members, my friends, my job, my health, don't you not care? And he just simply got up and said, ye of little faith, peace be still. But the part that the revelation that the Holy Spirit gave me was, it said other smaller ships were also there. So that means they were encountering storms as well. So the peace didn't just stop for their boat. It stopped, the peace came, I believe, for all the ships that were there because they all were on the sea. So to me, it speaks to our surrendering when we surrender our lives and we become user-friendly of God to be used. It's a blessing and a peace that comes into our homes and into our relationships and into our marriages and with our children on the job. There's a peace and a serenity that comes so that not only does he still the storm in your life, but any of the other ships or relationships that are also as a result encountering that similar storm that they're in. So I thought that was, I appreciate you saying that peace and that serenity part, because it is so true. So in closing, do you have any closing remarks you want to share with us?
Just one more. We mentioned, you know, the panic stage, right, mm-hmm. of when things are falling apart and then we have that desperation. But I've come to learn that God loves desperation.
Oh, yeah.
Because we need him, right?
Yes.
And he wants to be needed and loved. He's our Father.
Right.
He's our Abba.
Right.
So I love that it's, a lot of people say, well, just in the nick of time.
Right.
But there's no coincidence.
Right.
It's a God incident.
Exactly. Exactly. And he loves, I love mm-hmm. those God winks is what I call them.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you so much, Ms. Kenita, for joining us. It's
thank
been
you.
A blessing. And we encourage those out there for this week and the next coming weeks just to enjoy the journey of surrender and just discipline yourself. Choose to, with your actful will, surrender to the will of God for your life. Blessings and peace. For Christian Women in Training Network, we meet on the first Saturday of every month from 8:30 a.m. to 11, and we would love to have you join us again, where we come to sit around the Word to see what the Spirit would have to say to the church, to the body in this season and this time. Come and become glory carriers with us. God bless and peace.